Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Make Better Wedding Films, the home of new ideas for radical films about people in love. My name is Ben. I will be your host. And before we get into the show, I've just got a couple of announcements from our sponsors. The first of which is MusicBed, the best home on the internet for music for your wedding films, hands down. We all love MusicBed, and for those of you who haven't gotten on board yet, what are we doing, team? Come on. They've got incredible music licensed from amazing artists from all around the world, curated into beautiful playlists to help you find music easier. And if you're still having trouble finding music for your films, they've got a whole team that can help you find the right track for your film. You can message them. You can say, hey, I'm looking for this for my film. And they will help you out. They'll send you some selections to make the music searching process even easier for you. So make sure you sign up with the promo code MBWF to get your first month free and let them know that we sent you, which helps out the show. Our second sponsor for this episode and many episodes going forward, which I'm really excited about, is Film Convert. Film Convert is arguably the leading film emulation software on the market right now. They offer a range of different film stock emulations based on your favorite motion picture and still stocks. And each film stock has been scientifically built to bring the authentic film look to your footage. Now, again, we're going to be hearing everything you need to know about Film Convert on today's episode. We're going to go under the hood on how the software works, how it's different to just using a LUT on your footage. The guys over at Film Convert over the last 10 years have built an amazing piece of software. So I'm really excited to dive into it today and get you guys all up to speed on why this software is so, so amazing. If you guys like the sound of it by the end of this episode and want to give it a try, make sure you use the promo code MBWF10 to get 10% off and let them know that we sent you, which helps out the show. Alrighty, that's it for the announcements. On to the episode. The film look is something digital filmmakers have been trying to emulate for years. And back in 2012, a small company from New Zealand set out to achieve that goal. A decade later, and Film Convert is arguably the most accurate and sophisticated film emulation software on the market. On today's show, I'm sitting down with Film Convert's Hennessy Griffiths to discuss the science and the magic of digital film emulation as we take the guesswork out of color grading. My name is Ben, and this is Make Better Wedding Films. Hennessy,
hello.
Welcome to the Make Better Wedding Films podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's such an honor
nice to
be
you on
here.
The show. Oh, I'm super stoked. I'm great to make the connection with you guys, to have you on the show, to have you part of the show moving forward. I'm super excited. And I'm excited to just basically chat with you today, learn about, you know, the amazing software that is Film Convert, also the new Cinematch, which we can go in on as well. And just to kind of just chat shop on the topic of emulating film, color grading, the science of color grading and cameras and sensors and everything that goes on under the hood. So, basically, welcome. And why don't we just start off with a little bit about you and then a little bit about Film Convert and how it's evolved over the years.
Oh, a little bit about me. God, I never know what to say for this kind of stuff. Anyway, kia ora, my name is Hennessy. I am 25, and I am based in Wellington. And yeah, I've been with Film Convert for about a year and a half now, and I am the marketing manager, which is really fun. And in all honesty, when I first started this job, I had no idea about color grading whatsoever. I didn't even know that cameras shooted in log or, you know, how to expose or anything like that. And it's been such a fun journey, really getting thrown into the world of color grading and film emulation, which is so wild. Like, I don't think people necessarily realize how intense and how, like, crazy, but also how big this niche is. You know what I mean? Especially because, like, we're based in New Zealand. There isn't really a community for that here, but it's honestly insane. And so, yeah, Film Convert is a software company. We're based out in Wellington. And we first launched in 2012, which was a long time ago. And kind of in the early stages, we had a sister company called Rubber Monkey, and they were sort of focusing more on post-production. And, you know, they had a lot of customers that came in that would shoot on film. But at this time, a 10-minute roll of 35mm film was around $1,000 New Zealand And, you know, it's unfeasible to make that fit in your budget, especially if you're sort of a low budget filmmaker. And so at the time, we also had some red ones that were available to rent, and the red color cyans were still very new and it wasn't necessarily to everyone's taste yet. And so basically the way in which Film Convert came about was sort of seeing if the red one could look like film, and then users could have the best of both worlds of being able to shoot digitally while also still getting that film look. And then the first instinct was to mimic the film process, such as, you know, taking all of the steps possible to make your digital footage get that film look from a Cineon scan. And from there, it could be kind of treated like any other film process. And so, yeah, the first iteration of the plugin was kind of written for like the Red One specifically. And this was before the days of Red Log film and all of that sort of stuff. And so they were trying to convert sRGB footage into Cineon, which was so difficult, especially considering this is like 2012 as well, and the technology just wasn't up to par really. And so then after that, we applied a print film and a viewing simulation on top of our targets that we originally shot, and that's how we got the signature Film Convert look. And, you know, I would say probably 10 years later, here we are now. We have our second iteration of the plugin called Film Convert Nitrate. We also released a second plugin called Cinematch back in 2019. And I mean, we've been used from the likes of beginner filmmakers all the way up to HBO and Beyonce's production company. And so, yeah, it's been a crazy 10 years, I would say.
Yeah, it's the thing. It's like I've been in the game for like over a decade now too. And like Film Convert's always, especially the fact that it's a Kiwi company, is like, it's always kind of bouncing around my periphery. Especially back in those early days, it's like the cameras and the colors were rough, and we did everything we could to try and like get that film look, you know, that quote unquote film look. And here we are over a decade later, still trying to get the film look. I think it's one of those things, like, it's so elusive and alluring to everyone. You know, everyone just wants that classic look from their digital footage without paying 100%. $10,000 a roll for 100% actual film.
It's just like, the thing about shooting on film as well is like, it's just so dreamy and it's so organic and nostalgic, and it's such like, I don't know, it's such an immersive experience as well. And I feel like that's really what drew us towards that, was sort of, I don't know, there's definitely film is kind of put on a pedestal, especially within filmmaking. And it's so obtainable yet so out of reach at the same time. So if we're able to kind of bridge that process in some way, then that's all that matters really.
Yeah, absolutely. What I would love to, because the thing is, just before you threw out a bunch of words, like Cineon, sRGB. but this is exactly what this episode's for. You know, I want to go under the hood and figure out what's going on, because I think a lot of people's approach to color grading is very just with their eyes, intuitive, chuck some LUTs on, move some sliders around, and there's not a much like technical sort of prowess going on. So I would love to basically hear, like, especially from your guys' end, about how you know, how film converts developed over the years. Like, basically, what is the process for film, for developing film, and then how are you guys emulating that digitally? What's kind of going on under the hood?
So when we first did our film stocks, I remember apparently we got them shot at, or we processed them at Weta Digital, actually, which is really cool. And then there was kind of the whole process of, you shoot different targets. Like, for instance, on this side over here, we've got, this is like our little setup, and that's kind of the targets that we shoot and that we can map all of our data off of. And so it's kind of like this long process of being able to scan the film, and then, you know, you've got to make sure when we kind of do it, you then pretty much have to replicate the whole process as if you were shooting a film and then showing it at the movies, for instance. Like, you put on a viewing simulation, which is basically how you can see the film colors from the original Cineon log scan. And like, for instance, Cineon log, that's kind of it's like a file format, pretty much. And it's sort of an industry standard file format. And it's a standard for scanned film negatives. And so it kind of allows you to convert your log footage into a Cinian log scan, which stores more dynamic range. And then from there, you can kind of put on a viewing simulation, which converts your footage to Rec. 709 within the film space, if that makes sense. It's like, the thing is that there's always a lot of words. Like, there are so many different technical aspects and there's so many technical components. And I think, especially for a lot of filmmakers, it can be really difficult to break into the market because there's so much terminology and not enough knowledge, like you were saying. And it seems very gatekept in that matter. But the reality is, as well, is like a lot of people kind of, or, you know, these terms are sort of thrown around, but it doesn't necessarily impact your grading process, you know?
Is there anything sort of like technically different from, say, like popping on Film Convert and then it doing all that like Cineon conversion stuff versus just say like using a LUT? Like, is there anything sort of like going on different with like, you know, how people would usually use a LUT?
I think the thing compared to us, like compared to a LUT, is there's a lot of different factors that go on. And I think one of the biggest ones actually is about what camera your LUT was designed for. Because obviously we all know how to use LUTs and they're pretty easy. You can just slap it on your footage and then it will look great. However, with a lot of LUTs is that they're specifically designed for a certain camera model. Whereas with Film Convert, for instance, the way in which the plugin works is through our camera packs. And the idea is that when we get a camera, we profile its sensor to get an idea of how the light and the colors of that sensor works. And we fully understand your sensor characteristics. So it means that any sort of film stocks that you're applying or any color correction or color grading tools are in line with what you shot on. And then if, say, for instance, you have a LUT that is for a Sony camera, but you're shooting on Canon, then you can use a product like CineMatch, which matches cameras together, and then be able to use that LUT. I think as well, another important aspect is that, especially film LUTs, don't actually include film grain, which is such a shame because, like, obviously a part of the reason why you use film is for the grain. But I think, I don't know exactly why LUTs can't have grain, but we're pretty lucky that our software allows 8 different grain sizes at 6K grain scans, which is really nice. And so, yeah, I would say that probably ours is a bit more higher resolution than the average LUT. But then again, I am also biased. Like, so I have, or, you know, but I would definitely say that we're probably a little bit more technical. And I would say that we're definitely a bit more methodical than a LUT, for instance.
And because you mentioned before that, like, that different sensors have different characteristics at different kind of like, in different environments and stuff. And can you go into a bit of that around like, helping people understand like how their sensor might perform in different environments, whether it's overexposed, underexposed, like is it, you know, because people just probably imagine like, you know, a slider going up, like brighter, darker. But as you guys have like, you know, dived into these sensors and how they perform under different environments, can you give a bit of insight into like what you guys have discovered in terms of like how sensors perform under different
It's really interesting, eh? Because it's just that every sensor is so different, especially like even if you've got, say, for instance, a same camera brand, if you're comparing like a Sony A6600 to the FX30, even though they have the same color science, for instance, the sensors are completely different, you know, or like they're going to read certain things differently. And so it really is all contextual based on the camera that you're shooting on. But I feel like, especially for what we're doing in terms of film emulation, the best practice if you wanted to get the most perfect looking film emulation for your digital footage is to just expose your digital footage correctly, you know? Because if you were shooting film back in the day, then, you know, you would need to sort of overexpose to capture less for the highlights, for instance, because film is a lot different to shooting digital. Whereas now it's best just to kind of shoot the best practices for your camera. And then, yeah, I think like with all of the different sensors and everything, every one of them has their own little quirks, you know? It's really hard to actually kind of figure out if there is an ongoing trend within the camera brands or the different types of cameras because they're all so uniquely different. But a A really great resource actually is, I don't know if you've ever been on the website CineD much. They're really great. They're like kind of this American camera and tech-based website. And what they've done is they've actually got a lab library, I believe it's called. And the idea is that they do all of these lab tests of different cameras and they compare all of the different sensors. They do rolling tests of all of the shutters and everything like that. And then they got this huge database of all of this camera information, which can really help if you, you know, say for instance, you're shooting on a new camera and you're like, oh no, what's the base ISO I should be using or anything like that. So I highly recommend checking that out as well.
So you just threw out the word base ISO there, because that might be something that like not everyone fully understands with their camera and stuff. In terms of base ISO, like in my head, how I see it is like basically the camera has a sensitivity that it likes to live on.
Yeah.
And anything lower than that, you lose dynamic range. Everything over that, you add noise. Is that basically, is there anything kind of more nuanced to that?
Honestly, that's pretty much it. Like that is pretty much it. And I think the biggest thing as well is like knowing that if you, or like you pretty much just want to store as much dynamic range as possible, because that way you have the most information that you can play with and, you know, you don't run the risk of either overexposing or underexposing your image and blowing out your highlights or losing details in your shadows. Like with base ISO, that's pretty much it. And you want to be able to kind of shoot within log or raw shooting modes. Definitely, because those are the picture profiles that will store the most dynamic range. And it just becomes so much easier in the grading, especially if we've all had instances as well where, say, for instance, you've gone out and done a shoot and then you realize that you haven't set your white balance, or you realize that it's a tiny bit overexposed or underexposed. But then having that stored dynamic range really helps you be able to kind of pull your image back and then not lose everything you've just worked so hard on as well.
From the filmmakers I've talked to, there's a surprising amount who still are like nervous about, say, shooting log.
Yeah.
And like, is, because for me, I mean, I've shot log for years now, and with like the sort of like built-in view assists on the back of the camera, like it all seems relatively straightforward. But can you kind of like, is there any advice you would give to someone who's like worried about messing up their camera image, like by shooting log, and like how like capturing in log just give you so much more kind of information to work with?
Log is really scary. Like I completely understand, especially because you never know how it's going to quite turn out. I think we're pretty lucky with modern day cameras, especially is that there is a lot of tools in camera that can really help you with your log image. For instance, there's like histograms and zebras and all of those sort of things. Like I'm pretty sure the Blackmagic cameras have their own false colors and things like that, which can be really useful. And so I think it's just all a matter of, with your specific camera, going online and doing a bit of research about what are the best practices for that specific camera. See if there are any of those tools that can help that, or see if you can import a Rec 709 viewing LUT for your monitor, so then that way you can still see what it looks like in color. But I definitely think that on a base sort of level, the most important thing always is just to make sure you've got your white balance set. Like make sure you have your white balance set, because that's something that you can't really easily fix. You can always adjust your exposure in post, but white balance is a bit more difficult than that. So just as long as you've got a correct white balance, then you should hopefully be okay.
Cool. Okay. So is there anything else that, you know, we should be aware of in the kind of like capturing process, you know, like before we get home and offload our footage and open up editing software and add Film Convert, before we do any of that, when we're out filming, is there anything else that filmmakers can do to kind of just like maximize their kind of like image capture workflow?
That's a really good question. I'm not entirely sure, because I think we're pretty lucky with Film Convert, for instance, because obviously Film Convert does work best with log or raw profiles. However, we do support sRGB profiles, so like the color profiles, for instance, as well. So that can be quite handy. So to be honest, I would probably say that the best practice you can do is just make sure that you're comfortable with the camera first and foremost, and make sure that, you know, all of your settings are checked. If you've got multiple people on a shoot, it's even better, because then you can kind of remind yourself, like, hey, did you make sure your exposure's correct or things like that? And just always be, always make sure that you have enough SD cards, you have enough batteries, all of that jazz pretty much. But yeah, I would say in terms of the general shooting, is always expose correctly for your camera in particular, and then otherwise just have fun, I guess.
Before we start getting creative with the color grading process, mm-hmm. I kind of want to still stay in the kind of like technical world for a minute. Heavy. And just basically just like, I would love to know basically like a best practice for using the software, how to set it up correctly, and mm-hmm. how to start to manipulate the image. And because, like, I'm aware, for example, that like in editing software, like the order you do things is important. You know, it's not like using a RAW file in Lightroom where you can just, you know, everything's non-destructive. You know, like the order of operations and how you grade things is really important in video. Mm-hmm. So I would love to hear from you, like, what's the kind of best practice for like getting the footage in and you're ready to start grading, ready to start playing with film convert and other stuff. Like, what's the sort of best practice of how to set things up?
Yeah, I think the first thing, most importantly, is that everyone is going to have their own workflow. Everyone's going to have a process that works best for them, and that's great. However, in terms of our products, there is definitely kind of a best practice for that. And so, as I mentioned earlier, we do have two products, which is Film Convert Nitrate and Cinematch. And I haven't really touched on Cinematch, but that is a color correction and camera matching tool. And that's really cool because it works using the same camera packs that we do. But instead of matching your camera to a film stock, for instance, you can actually color correct your footage and map one camera to another. So say, for instance, if you're shooting on a multicam shoot, you can match those two cameras together. But then we also have a lot of more intuitive controls, such as exposure controls and false colors and white balance pickers and things like that. So you can make sure that your colors are all adjusted before you get into the more creative grading process. So if you were to use both Cinematch and Film Convert together, the best process would be to use Cinematch first. You select your camera pack, and then you can turn on a Rec. 709 transform to see how your image is looking, and then make any color correction adjustments that you need to make. And then what you can do is you can turn off the Rec. 709 transform and then bring in Film Convert Nitrate on the top of that. So then you know that when you're applying your film stock that you've chosen, that the colors and all of your exposure and everything is looking as perfect as it can be. Or for instance, if say, for instance, you're shooting a wedding and you wanted to give your footage the ARRI look, you could use Cinematch to turn your camera into ARRI or Log C and then apply a Film Convert Nitrate over the top of the ARRI Log C conversion, which is really cool. And then, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can go about it as well. Like, for instance, we have a slider in Film Convert Nitrate, which is the Cinian to PFE slider. And the idea is that that slider is really important because if you turn it all the way down, you're back in Cinian log. And that's a non-destructive space in which you can apply your grade. So it means that any changes that you're making aren't necessarily applied to your original image, but rather the Cinian log version of your image. But then as you slowly turn it up, that's when you get the print film emulation, and that's when you get the film colors as well. So what you could even do, for instance, is that if you wanted to grade your image but not necessarily use a film stock, but use the Cinian log, you can turn that slider all the way down and then apply a more creative grade onto it, you know? And so, yeah, there's a lot of different ways that you can utilize both plugins to best fit with your workflow, but the best idea is always to use Cinematch first to color correct your images and then apply Film Convert Nitrate on top.
I'm starting to understand more, and because that whole, like, Cinion to print film emulation slider is something that, like, I've like, you know, I can see what it's doing, but I still don't really like, you know, understand, like you said, like working in Cinion as a non-destructive format, like it's starting to understand those like orders of operation to make sure you're not like losing information in the image.
Yeah, 100%. Because in all honesty, like, I was the same for a while as well, because I remember when I was first using the software and I was turning down that sort of CDN to PFE slider, and I was like, oh, cool. It's just like pretty much, you know, turning up and down the film color. But then when you sort of understand that if you even compare your original log image to the CDN log image, you can see how there are slight differences within that. And that's just really nice, being able to know that, like, whatever sort of grade you make or whatever changes you make isn't inherently baked into your image after that. So if everything turns to custard, you've still got your original file there and you've still got all of the changes that you've made as well. And yeah, and like, after time, you know, there's a bit more practice and you start to feel more comfortable with it, and then you can start going crazy with it.
Yeah. Awesome. And so, like, just to kind of like give people a recap of that whole sort of thing, like, what would you say would be like the kind of the cliff notes for the difference between editing a log file, like editing log footage, versus editing in a Cinian kind of color space?
So
what would you say the benefits? Yeah.
So if you're editing your log footage, it's going to be baked into your image. If you're doing color corrections or things like that, it's always going to be within your image, and it's really hard to go back once you've made changes. Whereas, for instance, if you're using Film Convert and you're grading within Cinian log, that's a non-destructive space. And the idea is that it stores the most information and the most dynamic range of your image. And so that way you can grade without it necessarily being baked into your image, because it's all a viewing simulation rather than actually being placed on there, if that makes sense.
I'm getting there. I'm getting up to speed. I'm slowly getting up to speed.
That's what I love to hear. By the end of this, you are going to be calibrating in no time. You're going to be giving workshops.
Because, like, this is I somewhat intuitively understand that, in terms of like how I've been using the software recently, where like basically Film Convert for me is always like the last part of the puzzle. It's the thing that goes on top. So, like, basically I never do anything after that print film emulation.
Yeah.
Basically. Is that like any changes are under that Cineon, are like happen before that Cineon?
Yeah.
Stuff
100%. And I think because that's definitely what a lot of people do, is that it's kind of that final touch, you know. And quite often we will advise that Film Convert should be one of the earlier parts of your process, because that when we use it, or when you choose your camera pack, Film Convert controls work best when it's with the raw camera data and sort of everything hasn't really been touched and things like that. However, in saying that as well, as I mentioned earlier, everyone has their own workflow. You know, we've seen countless examples of people that don't necessarily use Film Convert for the film stock emulations, but rather the grain emulations, you know? And so, again, yeah, it is very, while that is kind of the best practice, it is very malleable. So leaving it to the last minute and then putting it on as kind of the final, like, sprinkling on top of your already nice grade or anything like that, that's totally fine. As long as you're happy with the image afterwards and you think it looks great, then that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, and look, I totally get that, and you're absolutely right. It's, I guess, I'm at a process now where I just, you know, I'm like hungry for more knowledge around, like, I don't know, just more like methodical, more like, for want of a better word, intelligent ways of doing things, a way of going about things. And so going back to what you were saying around like how, like, because obviously the power of Film Convert is in these camera packs where, like, it's not just a generic LUT that's going to work differently on Sony versus Canon. It's like, you know, you guys have worked with these camera packs and, like, exact camera models, and like a C70 camera pack is going to look different to an R5 camera pack. You know, they're very precise. And so, but then you're also like mentioning how, like, when you're in that Cineon space, it's all non-destructive. So you don't want to do your changes before that. So, like, what would you say would be like, I don't know. Because, like, say, compared to how I'm doing it, where, like, I've got, say, in terms of my layers, I would have something like Cinematch to take, like, my R5 and make it look like my C70.
Yep.
Above that, I would have, like, color wheels and my HSLs and stuff. And then above that, finally, is Film Convert. And so basically I just like turn everything on, pick my film stock and film convert my camera packs and everything. And then below that, I then start to grade creatively. And so like I'm using film convert as that viewer too, to like, so it's like, if I was to then turn off film convert, like the image would look bizarre because I'm like editing through film convert. But like, I don't know, is there another way or another way to go about it? Is there, would you say from your guys' experience of like, you know, how you as the software company would prefer people to use the, because when you open up the film convert panel, there are all these other, you know, color wheels and stuff. Like, how would say using the color wheels in the film convert panel versus using, you know, Final Cut's color wheels
definitely.
Under film convert worked differently?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it is a tricky one, right? And it is hard to always know what the best practices are. And I feel like, especially in a lot of cases, people kind of have a particular style of editing and will always run with it, especially if it's tried and true, you know? I think for us, definitely, it is all about sort of using Cinematch first. I think Cinematch is a really useful tool in just being able to rest assured knowing that, for instance, in the worst case scenario that you haven't exposed your image properly or anything like that, is that you can color correct, but do so in a way that you know that it's actually in line with the camera that you shot on. And then ideally we would want it so that people use Cinematch and Film Convert in conjunction and don't really use external tools like the Lumetri controls or Final Cut Pro's color wheels and things like that. Because again, the color wheels that we have are going to be matched to the film stock that you've chosen as well as the camera pack that you've chosen. And so it's all, because it's a self-contained film emulation tool, it's more like a self-contained grading suite, if that makes sense. And so all of those colors and things that, or all of the changes that you make using the secondary controls, they're not just necessarily taking all your image data like the Lumetri controls will, but it's more relevant to the camera you shot on and the film stock you've chosen. But then again, also again, in saying that, you know, everyone has their own different workflow. You said that, you know, you prefer sort of doing the controls in Final Cut Pro and then adding in Film Convert. And if that's working for you, then, I mean, why should you stop? You know, like, you can always do a comparison between using Film Convert controls and Final Cut Pro controls and see what the differences are. But I definitely say, though, that when you're using Cinematch, it's best to use just all of the controls within Cinematch because it will just make it so much easier.
No, I get that. And because, yeah, that's the sort of stuff that's interesting to know, the fact that like your color wheels are responding specifically to those camera packs compared to just like the generic Final Cut wheels. It's really interesting because it's not the sort of thing that's obvious, I think, to people. It's like a color wheel is a color wheel is a color wheel.
100%.
You know?
Yeah. And I think as well, like, this is something, especially in terms of Cinematch, for instance, right? Like, the biggest question that we often get asked is, why is Cinematch different to a CST or a color space transform, for instance? And it, again, it all comes back down to our camera packs. And the idea is that, yeah, when we get a camera in, we shoot the unders and overs off that camera and we get an idea of how it sees light and color. But what we actually do is we get the log curves from that camera and we map it out in our proprietary tools, and we're able to actually like pinpoint, you know, your actual log curve response to your camera, which is insane. And what it means is that when you then apply your camera pack, instead of like a CST transform where it's bringing you into the color space of your camera, it's taking Cinematch's camera packs take you into the color space, but the color space within your sensor as well. And I feel like that's the most important step. And so, yeah, always apply a camera pack, please. If you're using Film Convert or Cinematch, just please always use a camera pack. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah, you know, that's some sadistic shit if you're if you're using Film Convert without the camera packs. That's,
what are you doing?
That's doing life on hard mode. But no, that's great. And because like Cinematch for me has been amazing. I think for wedding filmmakers, it's fucking game changer, because we're in this world where like we're using different cameras, we've got second shooters. I'm on Canon, therefore every other filmmaker is on fucking Sony. So like all my second shooters are always on bloody Sonys or Panasonics, heaven forbid. And so I've got to match cameras all the time. And like even since starting to use the software, like the new one, hello, I'm 13 again. the nuances between like my C70 and my R5, because like even within the same, you know, Canon cinema world, like I prefer my C70 image over my R5 image.
Yeah.
And it, for me, it's always been a sort of gut thing. But the fact that I can then, you know, bring my R5 into that C70 world has been amazing. It's been great.
It's pretty insane, eh? And it's also really nice as well, just knowing that it's kind of like one of the benefits of it, I think, is that, you know, even if you don't necessarily have multiple cameras, it's like you can use or you can shoot on your one camera and then you can make it look like any other camera that you want, especially the fact that we've got, you know, like Arri or we've got the Sony Venice and things like that. And it's so... it's just really fun being able to like experiment with that sort of layout as well. But I'm very glad to hear that it's been good with matching cameras. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Amazing. All right. Well, I think because basically I think now's probably a good time to take a break and pay some bills. And then when we come back, we're kind of going to move out of somewhat of the kind of like technical world of like how to set things up, you know, quote unquote, correctly. And we're going to sort of dive into the world of emulating film, you know, like it's in the name Film Convert, right? So we've sort of talked about the kind of like converting and matching world. And now we're going to sort of delve into the more mystical world of emulating film. So let's take a break, pay some bills. We'll come back in a second.
Studio Ninja is the world's highest rated studio management software. It contains a huge suite of tools from calendar integration and double booking warnings to contract templates and automated client workflows. If you want more time to focus on the creative parts of being a wedding filmmaker and less time on admin, then why not take 50% off when you sign up with the promo code MBWF50 and get your first year of Studio Ninja for as little as $125 US.
And we're back. So... Hennessy, we're going to dive into the world of film emulation now.
Ooh, exciting.
And because, look, this is something that, you know, it's elusive for everyone. And I think right off the bat, a piece of software should never be considered as just like a light switch that's going to fix your problem instantly, right? Like, you know, there's always going to be some level of skill, creative control, nuance involved in creating, you know, a look that we want to achieve. But I would love to basically spend the rest of the episode helping filmmakers like myself get a bit more up to speed or just have a few more tools in the tool belt to basically, like, you know, we look at like movies and TV shows that are shot on film and we go like, man, I want that look. And then you open up Film Convert and you select your camera pack and you select the exact film stock that you know that movie was shot on, and it doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
So how do we get there? Basically, like, what's the next step? You know, we've spent the first half of the episode setting ourselves up with the best way possible. You know, we shot stuff correctly in log. We got all our Cinematch and Film Convert all set up perfectly. What's the next step?
I feel like in terms of when you're talking about films and movies, I think that's kind of, it's a bit elusive, right? Because the thing is like, if you were to compare a film that was shot on, I don't know, Kodak 5207, for instance, but then you were to compare what you've shot on Kodak 5207, the thing is with most of those films that are shot using film is that they don't necessarily just rely on the film colors for the grade, and they'll apply a grade on top of the film, if that makes sense. And so they would probably, like, the colors weren't just from the raw film, and they most likely scan to a digital intermediate from cinema or from Cineon, sorry, and then graded on top of that. And so there's so many variables about how your colors will turn out in terms of like if you're shooting film as well, with the balance of the printer lights and different treatment processes and your lighting and everything like that. And so I think it's kind of difficult to be able to try and compare a blockbuster compared to what you've shot as well, because it's a great starting point so you can get the right base colors. And like, for instance, right, if you were using Resolve, then you could start your grading before Rec. 709 by placing film convert nitrate on your clip to get into the right film space. Then you can apply a creative grade on top of the Cinian log, but then you can add another node with the print film emulation on top of that. And so there's a lot of different ways that you can play around with it. And I think, yeah, I think just not being afraid to also, or not thinking that, say, for instance, the colors that you have in Film Convert is the final grade. It can help you achieve your final grade, and you can do more creative grades on top of that as well.
Yeah, and because that's like, that's what I kind of imagine, but it's always been hard for me to kind of like, I always feel like I'm doing things the wrong way. Where like,
totally,
like say,
yeah.
You know, like say like something like, for example, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, shot on mostly Kodak Vision 3 5213, which is one of the stocks that you guys have. And I picked that as an example because like often there's these like outdoor scenes that, yes, there'd be gaffers and silks and stuff involved, but like mostly we're talking like, you know, outdoor sunlight.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, like that's something that I can at least get somewhere in the world of, because I'm, you know, I'm dealing with like, you know, outdoor sunlight and like, and stuff. So it's like when I select, you know, Kodak Vision 213, and Film Convert, like where do I start to get like the image that I've got, which often looks kind of a bit blue, not quite as saturated colors as, you know, something like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What is the best kind of way to start to get to where I want to? You know, I've got my reference image. What are some of the tools and the orders of operations? Like, for example, you mentioned in Resolve around having different nodes, like one Film Convert to like get you in the color space, and then another one to get the film print emulation on top. Would it work the same in, say, Final Cut, where you have like one Film Convert effect and then a color wheel on top and then another Film Convert for the print film?
I'm not super familiar with Final Cut Pro's layout like that, but I think it could possibly work like that. And yeah, I think the most important thing to remember is just that they probably have applied a creative grade on top of the film, and it's not just the raw film colors. And so at least you can kind of rest assured knowing that if you're using Film Convert and you, say, for instance, are bringing it back down to that Cinian log, is that you're starting off with the same film colors as those films are, and then you might need to do a more creative grade process. But yeah, I'm, again, not too familiar with Final Cut Pro, but I imagine if you did put on a layer of Film Convert, turn down the Cinian to PFE slider so you're just in the Cinian log, then apply, you know, your more creative grade in terms of the color wheels and things like that on top, and then you apply another like layer of Film Convert to then add the print film emulation, I'd be interested to see how that turns out. And I'd be interested to see if that works within getting your images pretty similar to how it looks in the film. But yeah, because I think it is just more like, yeah, I think there is a lot of ideas out there that when, you know, the film color should be the final grade, which it's great if it is. And if you're happy with it, then absolutely. But also don't be afraid to expand on that further and, you know, use the like other tools that are available to you to apply a more creative grade on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's just one of those things where it's like, I want to use the tools, in Film Convert to like help me get into that world of starting to look like film. It's always just like for me, like understanding, because like, for example, if I pull that Cineon to PFE slider all the way down, I wouldn't be comfortable like looking at that super flat image on how to grade, like how to then grade that back into a place that is there a tool to like a viewer or something to help, like, you know, view a Rec. 709 version. Like, it's
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but I know what you mean. I'll ask around and I'll see if I can find out something for you, because I'm sure that there is some sort of like viewing simulation or some sort of LUT that you could apply on top of that so you can see what it all looks like, but then be able to turn it off to then do your more creative grade. I'm sure that there is a way. I'm just not sure of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Because I think because different movies and different TV shows shot on the same stock all look different, because they have had that creative process, the extra creative grade added into the mix. But do you have any advice for people on like using Film Convert and then having reference images and like what to do in between to get there? Basically, like how to use Film Convert as a stepping stone to then start the creative grade process.
Yeah, I think in terms of using Film Convert, I think it's also just about playing around with the different controls and seeing what they all do in real time. I think that's always something that really helps. And we're working on a lot of different controls that help with more precision when it comes to that process. But I think being able to experiment and try out a lot of the different sliders and playing around, especially with those secondary controls, such as the color wheels or your levels and curves and the saturations and things like that, that can really help you with trying to get within that same space as well. I feel like even also in terms of Cinematch, for instance, you can use the HSL tools, which are the hue, light, or what is it? Hue, light, and saturation, I think.
Luminance and saturation,
Yes, that's it. And then you can use the eyedropper to then be able to, you know, make sure that your greens are looking green or the blues are looking blue. And being able to set up comparison modes in your editor as well is always just like a nice way of being able to do it. But yeah, I would say that like, from our perspective, it is a bit of a trial and error process, but it's also practice at the same time as well. And I think, again, it all depends on what you shot on. It depends on the subject matter that you're shooting and the type of shoot that you've done. And then after just practice and time and feeling more comfortable with the controls and being able to learn more about not only what we do, but say, for instance, your editor does, then you will be able to reach that step.
Yeah, absolutely. It's because it's one of those things too where like I never know like in what order to like put, like for example, the HSL adjustments, because like there's things I often do. Like one of the main things I do with gradients, I always add an HSL to bring my greens more like emerald. I prefer like more of a dark, rich kind of emerald green rather than a warm, autumny green. But I never really know in what order to like, what's the, I guess, most stable place to do those HSLs. Is it like after, like at the end, like get all the colors in a space and then like once all the greens are locked in, then adjust my greens? Or do I do it at the start and then let all the software figure out, okay, that's green and now we're going to convert it after the fact?
I think in terms of Cinematch, for instance, I think the way in which that the controls have all been mapped out is kind of the process in which you should do it all. And we've kind of gone to extreme measures of making it as streamlined as it possibly can within the plugin controls itself. And so, yeah, I think in terms of Cinematch, it's good to first select your camera pack, obviously, and then adjust, you know, use the false colors to adjust your exposure, adjust your skin tones and your temperature and all of that sort of stuff, and then move into the HSL in which you can experiment with those colors and things like that. But then also in saying that, you know, you can try it out. If it doesn't necessarily work, then you can try it earlier in the process or later in the process. It all really depends on how you're feeling and what sort of look you're trying to get at the end of the day.
Interesting. No, this is all great. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I want to approach this process more methodically and just with some more tools in my tool belt. And I mean, like you said, it's one of those things I've still got to go and do some trial and error and figure out what's going to work best for me.
Yeah, totally. And I think as well, like, you know, there's so many great resources online that help with not only how to use our plugins, for instance, but also just color grading in general. There are so many great YouTube tutorials and things like that that will always show the best case scenarios of how to use your editor software or anything like that. But then also in watching those tutorials, it's always going to be difficult because your image is never going to look exactly like theirs looks. You know, it's always going to be differences in the cameras or the scene itself and things like that. So it's kind of hard because it is a trial and error process, but it's also all about getting comfortable. And within that trial and error, being able to be like, oh, okay, I know that this thing does this or this thing does this, or if I do this, then I might have to do this later on. And so, yeah, it's kind of like, it's not an easy feat, but it's definitely got a huge payoff.
Yeah, because there's like, I'm a YouTube tutorial rabbit hole diver, like through and through. I mean, that's how I learned filmmaking. And like one of these rabbit holes I always keep diving into is like the Portra 400 look, and like in your software you guys do have some of those still film emulations.
Yep.
One of which is Portra 400. And that's always one that's been just so elusive for me, because like I watched YouTubers like Fulham Verbeek and Verlandis and all these like amazing Portra 400 photographers. And that's always been one, especially like in the film convert software, like I never quite get it in the space that they're, and I've watched like them like edit their raw film scans. I'm just like, I still just can't quite get, like, is there something different going on with the motion picture films versus the still films? And like, is that, because the colors always seem to go like a little bit more pushed on the still film emulations than they do on the motion picture.
Yeah, I think for us, right, there's just always going to be differences in how film stocks look, because there's so many different ways of dealing with film that plays into the final look, and it's never going to be the same. And like, for instance, you know, the differences in the processing labs or simulating a viewing environment, and even like the different batches of film that you get when you actually go and try and profile it, it's always going to result in more variation than you initially think. And I think within our controls, all of the sliders are very specific to help you create the signature look. But again, it's all contextual on based on what the light was like, what the colors are like. And yeah, we're working on more tools that can help with that. And we, you know, we're potentially looking at adding in new film stocks or being able to reshoot some of our old film stocks as well. There are just going to be there are different nuances that come within the like actual getting the film emulation process. Yeah. And that's all going to have an effect on how that final film look turns out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Not to prod the bear any further, as we sort of start to wrap things up, like, is there anything that you can tell us about like what the future looks like for you guys, and like what's on the horizon? What can Film Convert users kind of like look forward to in the future? What's on the way?
There are a lot of big changes happening at Film Convert. I don't know how much I can properly say. However, I can say that within sort of around Q1, Q2 next year, we will be releasing a very big feature update, in which it is a feature that a lot of people have been asking for a very long time. And so we're very excited to get that out. And then otherwise, we are moving into different spaces. We are just hoping to, you know, keep expanding the product, keep adding in new film stock, adding in new features and things like that, and just trying to refine it as much as we can. And also new camera packs. There are a lot of new camera packs coming out, so don't worry about that.
Well, I keep pumping out new cameras left, right, and center.
I know. Yeah. It's insane.
Keep you guys in business.
I know. There was like, I think even on last week alone, there was like 5 different cameras being released. I was like, how do they do it? I don't know.
It just puts pressure on our wallets, honestly. It's hard work.
I know.
amazing. Well, thank you so much, Hennessy, for coming on the show and helping us get, you know, a little bit further along in our color grading journey. It's been great, and I've loved diving back into Film Convert lately, and especially Cinematch and stuff. And just like, you know, it's appropriately elusive, this magical film look we're all after. And Film Convert is one tool in the process. But it's still lots to figure out and lots to learn. But do you have any kind of like final words or advice for people who are sort of like, yeah, delving into the world of color and film emulation, and any sort of final parting words of advice?
I think, in all honesty, it's just have fun with it. Just don't be afraid to experiment and play around. And it's so easy to feel disheartened if things don't necessarily look the way that you envision them to look, or if things don't go right. But you've just got to keep trying out new different processes. And especially with using our software, just don't be afraid to experiment with it and have a lot of fun with it, and be able to, you know, come up with different looks that you might think are a little bit crazy or anything like that. And just, find a look that works for you. And just keep using our plugins, please. They're great.
Nice. Little call to action at the end there. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, I'm here for it. Hennessy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been awesome and amazing.
So all the information you guys will ever want or need for Film Convert will be down in the descriptions below. We'll have a little promo code for you guys there who are keen to give it a try. There'll be some more little bits of content on Film Convert and color grading and stuff coming on the Instagram page too, which is exciting.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I had lots of fun, and I hope that everyone has found this useful in some way. And if not, hit me up. We can hash out the details together.
Slide into Hennessy's DMs. Amazing. Cool. Alrighty, guys. Well, that's going to do us for this episode. We'll see you all next time. Bye.